Amen. Well, thank Neil for filling in last Sunday and continuing on in this series that we've been walking through that I've called Friend. And we've been thinking about how important friendship is and how to develop good quality lifelong friendships, especially as we think about the characteristics of love that we see in 1 Corinthians 13. And just how powerful those characteristics of love can speak to the friendships in our life. Now, last week, Neil talked about truth and how we are called to speak truth into each other's lives. That's not always easy because sometimes truth is difficult to hear. We have to say things that we don't want to say, and yet it's needed. Now, as we come sort of toward the end of this series, we'll finish it 2 weeks from today. Last week, this week, and next week are really tightly linked, okay? They have a lot to do with one another. So speaking truth into each other's lives is really important, and it helps us to go to the next question that we have to deal with, and that's the doubt and suspicion that can be part of relationships. Now, we all know that doubt and suspicion can be relationship killers, right? We know that when we doubt someone and doubt their intentions, doubt their words, doubt their motives, all those things, then it is hard to have true intimacy with another person. It pushes us away. It builds up walls between us and that other person. And that kind of doubt and suspicion really can come from lots of different directions. We may find ourselves doubting others for lots of reasons. One of them may be just sort of the way that you're made. Maybe you're the kind of person who is sort of overly analytical. You question everything in life and you investigate it and think about it and analyze it. And maybe you overthink it sometimes. And if that's the case, it's really easy in our relationships to overthink, is this person telling the truth? Is this person acting on the motives that I see on the surface? Or is there something else going on? Can this person really be trusted? You analyze each word to think through, is this really the truth? And you just question everything. And it may be that because of that, it damages your relationships because of the doubt and suspicion that comes from your over-analytical nature. And you might even say, I wish I wasn't that way. I wish I could turn those thoughts off, but I can't seem to do it. They are always there, making me question other people. Or maybe you have doubt and suspicion about the relationships that you have now because of something that happened in the past, right? There's a person in your past, or maybe it's happened multiple times, but someone you were close to, maybe a parent, a sibling, spouse, a really close friend said something, did something that was a betrayal. They betrayed the friendship that you thought you had with that person. They said something or did something that wounded you, and you are still struggling with those wounds. And the wounds from that relationship or those relationships affect the relationships that you have in your life now. Because if it happened then, it might happen again. And so we have defense mechanisms that immediately come up and we wonder, is this person like that person? This sounds sort of familiar. This feels like that moment. And maybe this person is just like that person who hurt me so much a year ago, a decade ago. Maybe it seems like a lifetime ago. But it is still there. But wherever they come from, whether it's our analytical nature, whether it's from hurts in the past, or maybe something else that's going on in your mind, those doubts and suspicions are relationship killers. Because maybe the other person senses your doubt and suspicion that you just don't trust them. And so the intimacy that you want to have is not there because you are separated by this doubt and suspicion that the other person is not being genuine with you. And you don't know what to do about it. Today I want us to think about what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13 about just this and how this informs our friendships, whether they're in our families or among our coworkers or people in church, and what he says about trusting that helps us. So This is where you were last week. We heard these words. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, beginning, let's just begin in verse 5. He says, love does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Verse 6, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth, which Neil talked with you about last Sunday. And then we're not covering every phrase in this whole chapter, but this is what we have this week. It, love, always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Those two words, or three words, it always trusts. If we look at that, it's two very, very simple, extremely common words in ancient Greek, words that show up all the time, words that are not obscure. We don't have to sort of figure out how those words are used because we see them all the way through the New Testament and many other places in ancient Greek. And we translate it, at least the NIV translates it, always trusts. But if you look in many of the other modern reliable translations, of which the NIV is one, you'll find that many of them do not translate it that way. It is not always trust. Why is that? Here's one. Two words. The first word is just a common word that means something like always, so at all times, right? Or all things, like everything. Pretty simple. It's one or the other. You have to look at the context. And the second word is the word in Greek, pistuo. Now, if it were a noun, it would be pistis, which we always, almost always, translate in the New Testament as faith. Well, that helps us. We understand what faith is. We get that. But it's a verb here, so we don't use faith as a verb. So what verb should we use? Well, at its core, this word just means to believe. Okay? Now, I believe something. Well, we understand what that means. I believe what someone says or something that I read. I believe this or that. We get that concept. So many of the New Testament translations come across this way. Instead of always trusts, they say, believes all things. Now, we hear that and think, what in the world does Paul mean? Because if Paul lived in the day of the internet, he would not say, believe all things, right? Because it doesn't take very long looking on the internet to find something that is not true. So surely he didn't mean just believe everything you hear, because that's not the way the world works. And the truth is, it's not the way the world works now, and it wasn't the way that the world worked in the first century. Because even though they didn't have Google, they had lots of ways to pass on information quickly, and sometimes it got a little confused because people gossiped just as well then as they do now, right? So Paul did not mean naively, just believe everything you hear. Believe, love believes all things. Whatever you hear, just take it to the bank. Paul knew better than that. And in fact, if we read through Paul's letters, we find multiple occasions where it is clear that people that Paul had entrusted somewhere along the way had deeply betrayed him, and it hurt. So Paul understood what this is all about. So he doesn't mean just believe everything you hear. So, okay, well, what does he mean? Well, what we know is that this chapter is all about love. And love is a totally separate category from, say, the news, right? Or specifically political news or entertainment news or scientific news. So we're not just talking about information. We're talking about something relational. We're talking about the context of relationship. And I think specifically sort of a friendship, a loving relationship. So it's not even that we just believe naively what anybody tells us, regardless of the history that we have with them, regardless of whether they're reliable or not, because we've got people in our lives, you do and I do, that we know don't tell us the truth. You see, that's where it links up with what we talked about last week. Because Love that speaks the truth creates a context in which love can trust, in which love can believe. So I think what Paul is saying is, in the context of love, in a loving relationship, then you can trust. Whether you want to say believes all things or whether you want to say always trust, basically what we're saying is, I trust this person because of the relationship that we have. And so in a relationship of friendship, the choice we have to make is, am I going to assume the worst or believe the best? I heard that from Andy Stanley years ago, and it has stuck with me. And it's just what we're talking about here. Paul is saying, if you are in a loving relationship, not romantic love, that may be one kind of relationship we have, but all our relationships in which we have love, we have a decision when something happens. Are we going to assume the worst or believe the best? You know, we get a text from someone that we know very well. And you know, when we get a text, we can't hear the person talking. We don't know the tone of voice. We don't always know what word they're putting the emphasis on. And so sometimes they can be interpreted in more than one way. Like, we might get a text and think, is he being snarky or does he really mean what he's saying here, right? You got a choice. Assume the worst or believe the best. When Paul says, always trust, believes all things, he's saying, in that moment, will you assume the worst or believe the best? When something happens and you don't understand why the person did what they did, and you get this gut reaction against them, we've got a choice. Assume the worst or believe the best. And I think what Paul is telling us is that love allows us to see the best in our friends. Love allows us in those difficult moments to believe the very best because of the loving relationship that we have with that person, a mutual love and respect that we have for that person. And so the message that Paul is giving us is to believe the best. And love allows us to do that. And maybe you hear that. You say, preacher, I hear what you're saying, but you don't know my family, okay? You didn't grow up with them. You don't know what they're like. I don't. And maybe there are people in your family or among your friends or so-called friends that have shown that they are untrustworthy. They have demonstrated over and over again that they are not going to speak the truth and that they clearly do not have your best interest or anybody else's best interest except their own in mind. I don't think Paul is saying just sort of blindly and naively choose to believe everything they tell you, even though they have made it clear that they're not going to tell you the truth. Paul got that. He understood that. But in the context of a loving, mutual relationship, that love allows us to see the best in those people. Paul is not saying, okay, just open yourself up to hurt again and again and again. That's not the message here. The message is, in a context of this kind of healthy relationship, we truly can love each other and we can trust each other. The other thing you might say is, this seems risky. It means we take a risk to trust someone. Because what if they fail us? What if they violate our trust? And you know what? Friendship is risky. There is inherent risk in relationship. And the closer the relationship is to our heart, the more risk there is, right? I mean, there are people in our lives that we like them and they like us and they're good people. And, you know, but if they said something, it would hurt. But honestly, we could move on. But the closer in they get, a parent, a child, a sibling, a friend of decades, a spouse, the more risk there is involved in the relationship because there's more potential for hurt. And so, yeah, there is risk involved in this. But I believe we were created for community. We were created for connection with God and with each other. Now, we're not going to have community with everybody, and we're certainly not going to have the same community with different people in our lives, because each of those relationships has its unique characteristics. And there are certain people who have shown us that we can't risk ourselves with them because they are so untrustworthy. But there are also people in our lives who want us to be in relationship with them, who have demonstrated that they are trustworthy, who have demonstrated that they will be with us, whether it's a difficult time or an easy time, that they will speak truth, whether it's an easy truth or a difficult truth. They have demonstrated that their motives are honest and good. And those are the people that we choose to believe the best. Those are the people that love allows us to see the best in because of who they are. Now, here's the thing. Every single person with whom you have a relationship is going to mess up. And so are you. And so am I. There are times we're going to blow it. And there are going to be times when people are going to be disappointed because they have trusted us and we messed up. And they're going to feel bad, and maybe we're going to feel worse because of what we did. Now, in those moments, we have a decision. No more or forgiveness. And it's in that moment that we have that same choice to make. Because if someone that we truly, deeply love messes up, and they come to us, and they say, listen, I blew it, and I'm sorry, and it's not going to happen again, we've got a choice to make, right? We could assume the worst. They messed up once, they'll probably mess up again. I'm not going to let them hurt me again. I'm not going to risk it. Or we can believe the best. He or she really does mean it. They regret what they've done, and they want to be different. Believe the best. The good news for us as Christians is that over and over, God has chosen to believe the best about us. That when we've come back and said, God, I've messed it up, and I want to be different, He's believed that we could because of the power of Jesus at work in us. So when our brothers and sisters come to us and say, I messed it up, we have our decision to make. Paul tells us love allows us to see the best. We have to decide to do that. Let's pray together. God, you created us wanting to connect to other people. So many times it's those connections that make life exciting and interesting and wonderful and beautiful. And so, God, we pray that you will protect the friendships, the relationships that we have in our lives, and that you will help the kind of love that we have received from you dictate the way that we treat the people around us. Help us to trust. Pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our loving Father is inviting us back, and maybe that's something you need to do today, is to respond. Say, you know what, I'm going to put my faith in Jesus Christ, and yes, I'm a sinner just like everybody else in this room. And I want to call Jesus my Lord and be baptized into him. And if you're ready to make that decision, we'd love to know about it. Come forward as we stand and sing our invitation. Let's stand together.